Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
Need to nail the draft so they can't get back to the Super Bowl.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Jordan Love, QB1. But who else should the Packers surround him with talent-wise through the NFL draft? We dive into it. Also touching on Xavier McKinney, Christian Watson, and more. All things green and gold. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get into the episode. Here we go.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichsted. I'm your host and Packers fans. The NFL draft is 3 weeks away. That's going to be absolutely electric. Make sure you are here for it. We're going to be live tweeting the draft as well as doing pods. You know those come emergency style during draft weekend. So we have 3 weeks to build up and get ready. The Packers have a lot of picks. We're going to be diving into all of that and more here today. I'm joined by my co-host, KJ. KJ, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Packers fans, it is a beautiful 62 degrees and sunny in Wisconsin today. If you're in the homeland, you know what I'm talking about. We got the eclipse going on. I don't know if any of you can see that. I personally tried to look at it for a couple seconds earlier. Way too bright. I had my shades on, but I didn't have the proper protection. Looked away, preserved the vision. But it is just phenomenal weather in Wisconsin. Coming out of the winter, you know, that 62 feels like a supreme feeling. So I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited because Packers have 5 picks in the top 100. You mentioned the draft is right on the corner. A good team is about to get even better. I mean, Alex, I believe you mentioned that the Bears have like 4 picks. I'd have to double check that myself, but that was surprising for me to hear. But the Pack, they have 5 in the top 100. And this is a draft where, you know, I would say it's pretty top heavy. But, maybe like pick 15 through like 45 is a really good tier of players where there's not a ton of difference. And then from there, maybe like pick 45, range 45 overall prospects to like maybe, you know, 75, 85, 95 is another really good place to be, too. So Pack should be able to come out of here with, like, let's say we got 5 top 100 draft picks, probably like 3 starters, you know, like maybe you get a starter on the O-line. Maybe a guy like Barton falls to you from Duke. I know that that's not the sexiest first-round pick, but he's certainly versatile. You know, Zach Tom can play all up and down the line. Some people want to take a tackle so you can move Zach Tom back inside. You know, we know Goody loves these options, right? Like Elton Jenkins. He loves moving Zach Tom around. He loves doing these things with the coaching staff and giving them options to empower the best unit as well. Then there's, like, the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line, edge rusher, defensive back seems to be a cornerback in particular seems to be like a pretty loaded position in this draft. So that's a position the Packers could use, and that bodes well for them. You know, maybe you don't have to snag one round one because there's going to be value in round three, right? A guy like DJ James, you know, think about someone like him, a guy like Max Melton, brother of Bo Melton. Will he fall from round two? Will he be available in round three? Well, then it would allow you to kind of snag that tackle, snag that lineman, snag that edge rusher in round one, really solidify the Pack. I think this is the year to have multiple draft picks. I really do. And not only just multiple draft picks, we're not talking 6th and 7th rounders. We're talking about top 100. And I think what's interesting is the linebacker prospects in this class, Alex, is like 2 pretty good ones in the sense of Peyton Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper. But the good news is you can really find good linebackers all throughout the draft, right? Like, I believe there's a lot of, like, 5th rounders who pan out. You know, some guys in the middle rounds, they pan out. So it's like you don't even need to snag a linebacker up high, even though that is a kind of a need for the Packers. We could use another dog to put right next to Quay. Man, I'm excited. Like I said, a good team looking to get even better with this draft. It's right around the corner. Alex mentioned do not stray too far from Mike Packers on that day. We'll be here with all the coverage. It's going to be epic. Packers are expected to be busy. There might be some moving up. There might be some moving down. But we're going to be here for it. So I can't wait to have a great show. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to do a mock draft this episode because the Packers are in a good position and you can have good moves when you're in a good position. It's kind of like you said, KJ, right in the thick of all these tier two type players, right? Not the elite tier. The Packers are going to miss out on those players like they usually do, but they're going to get an elite, you know, shot at maybe three tier two players. And that's a way you can plug holes. They're just as good maybe in the long shot. You got more chance of them panning out. And so doing this mock, we're going to be excited to see who falls, who's there. Oof, Cage. When I think about the type of players that are there, like Cooper DeJean is one of them that definitely is going to be on my mind because he's doing his pro day today. And maybe he tests really good coming back from his injury. Maybe he doesn't. I think if he's doing the pro day, he's going to test pretty well and shoot up higher than he was without doing any testing.
I'm interested to see.
So
like,
what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, will he run? How well will he run if he does run? I know this guy seems to have an incredible football IQ, and his tape looks great, right? But there is an asterisk, and that's the guy broke his leg, right? It's not like he, like, hurt his thumb. Like, he broke his leg. That's a pretty significant injury. They say when you break a bone, you know, it heals even stronger. You know, we'll see, man. I think those are all one-off cases. But we know that Goody does not like these guys with injury history. You know, to me, it's not just a Cooper DeJean that almost like puts an asterisk by, but a Latu guy, right? This guy has like more pressures than anybody in college football. He's like the Will Anderson of this year's draft. But the only thing is Will Anderson didn't have any, you know, injury issues. And Latu actually medically retired from the game a few years ago when he was at Washington. He transferred to UCLA and became a dog. But Goot doesn't necessarily like those guys. He likes his guys to be accountable and available, two things that we've heard from NFL players scouts really look for, especially winning organizations, the Packers in particular. And it's not just a Cooper DeJean thing. You know, I know he's definitely a fan favorite among the Packers nation, but you kind of have to lump him in with another one of these guys like Latu, right? He's like a really, really, really talented, like, can't-miss guy if he's healthy. You know, like, absolutely take him if he's healthy, but, like, it's not that simple. And those are two guys I would definitely lump into the same category. I'm excited to see how DeJean does. I'm excited to see if this does affect his stock, because I think he's one of those guys where no one's going to know where he goes truly until the draft day. I think this guy could even go to round two. I know that might sound blasphemous to a few people, but when you have a leg injury that's like significant, and maybe he's healed, maybe he's going to light it up on this workout or whatever for teams. You know, maybe he doesn't, like, then his range is all over the place. Like, he could go as high as, like, pick 12 or something, but he could go, like, early second as well. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, think about the position he plays, Alex. Cornerback, right? Think about the strength of this class. Cornerback, among other positions, too. But, like, there's a lot of other guys available without those injury concerns, right? Think about a guy like TJ Tampa, for example. He's got a pretty wide range. He just, you don't have to worry about him, like, breaking his leg, you know, like,
yes, but I've got a counterpoint here, because
yeah,
I was just reverse engineering while you were talking to it. What do you actually want to draft? You don't want to draft a cornerback. You want to draft a player that will get two or three interceptions.
You're right,
and
brother.
Cover the receiver pretty well. And you think about how many guys in the draft can
and
do
tackle.
That. You're like, Cooper DeJean has a 2-3 potential. He's got 2-3 pick potential based on what he runs in this 40 time and just what I've seen of him on the field. He knows how to make plays and jump passes. Will he be able to do it at the pro level? I don't know. Speed's a little faster there. Quarterback's a lot better. But he gives you that shot of maybe impacting three games this year as a rookie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you look at some of the other guys, Rakestraw, he's going to give you tight coverage, which could be great, but then you're going to need guys to get the sacks up front. Like, that's okay, Lucas Van Ness, you're going to take the jump forward.
Rashawn Gary
is more of like a plug
million
the hole.
Man.
Yeah, Rashawn Gary, plug the hole.
Well, think
if you go for a type, or if you go like a guy with Rakestraw or like, you know, a Kool-Aid, you're getting more of a guy who, you know, plays
Kool-Aid's
coverage.
None of those guys.
Then Xavier McKinney has to get interceptions, Cage. And I was going to ask you this earlier in the week. This brings it back to me. How many interceptions do you want out of Xavier McKinney in his first year with the Packers?
I want at least four. If we're paying a safety, you know, 17 milli, I want at least four picks, right? I don't expect him to get 10 like Charles Woodson. I don't expect him to get, you know, 8 like every other game. I think that's unrealistic. I don't even expect him to get 6 because that's a lot. But if you can give us 4, you know, 1 out of every 4 games-ish, you know, maybe misses, like, 1 game due to injury or something like that, maybe it's slightly, like, 4 to 5, man, I think we're a very, very, very strong defense. And I like what you said, Alex, about the takeaways, going back to DeGene real quick. I mean, that's a huge point. That's a huge point, just like Latu, right? Like, maybe if Latu's on the field getting you sacks. And Kool-Aid's another one of these guys. A lot of Packers fans like Kool-Aid. But he's got some injury asterisks to him as well, so kind of lump him in with these guys. Like, maybe they all slip a little bit. Maybe the Pack take Kool-Aid in the second. I think Latu's going in the first. Edge rushers always seem to rise. And I think DeGene's just, like, destined for round one. He kind of has that, like, buzz about him for scouts. But, hey, these guys always seem to fall. It's going to be very interesting. But, like, let's say Latu, he is bringing that injury asterisk, but he does get you, like, 8 sacks his rookie year, just like Will Anderson did. I mean, man, that is, like, impacting games. If Cooper DeGene gets, like, three interceptions, that is Packers impacting games, like you said. But it's not only about the picks with Cooper DeGene. It's about the tackling, too. If you look at this guy's film, he goes and flies to the ball. And I think that's one of those things that Rakestraw does as well, really well. That is a tough one, man. Like who would you pick at pick 25? The good news is the Packers are going to be in a power position, and we might even trade. We might even trade down, pick up another second. You know, like, this is the year to do it. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, go ahead. I know you're going to make a point right there.
I feel the Packers are going defensive pass rusher or cornerback with their first round pick. And here's why. Because using that same mindset, what does an offensive lineman do for the Packers?
Solidification.
It's less of a game changer with the current situation for the Packers. So you don't need that round one investment there. You can use a round two investment on an old lineman to provide solidification. A guy like Elton Jenkins, for example.
A guy like Powers Johnson, I believe.
Powers Johnson.
I mean, we got Josh Myers in his contract year. So it's like, hey, either you ball or you're going to be showing the door, brother. John Runyon style.
But that's what I'm saying, Cage. So I think the Packers are not going round one old lineman. And maybe that's what ends up getting picked, and I'll be like, okay, you know, keep Jordan Love upright. That's always good. But at the same time, why not take, like, a risk at someone who can really make plays, Cage? It almost makes me think about the receiver position too, Packers fans. A lot of people don't like it when we're talking about receivers. But, Cage, there's so many good ones in this draft.
I think that's a round two, unless it's Xavier.
Why can't you get one top 25? I mean, we didn't have a single receiver with 1,000 yards. In my book, that means first-round picks on the table.
Yeah, I think here's another position that's on the table. All great points from Alex. Like, you know, maybe you don't take the OL round one, but you know who doesn't last till, you know, the middle rounds are tackles. And Eli Manning, just to serve as a counterpoint about, like, prioritizing the O-line, Eli freaking Manning was able to beat the Packers twice. Not only that, but he was able to win 2 Super Bowls just by being upright.
Guy was clutch.
We all know this guy wasn't the best thrower of the football ever. You know, he was far from it. This guy looked like he didn't know what was going on half the time. But he won 2 Super Bowls simply because the Giants put an offensive line out there. And, man, I mean, like, there's a lot of tackle prospects.
Gotta respect it.
You do. You can't argue with 2 rings, man.
I know. Really, that's the thing about Eli. He's, like, instant respect. He's got two rings.
Going back to the point, like, there's a lot of tackle prospects, but if you look into these tackle prospects, Packers fans, there's some good ones, and then there's some guys that, like, are more projectable. They're like, hey, this guy had, like, 10 starts in college, but trust me, bro, he's going to be really good at the pros. It's like, I don't know if that's enticing for me to spend my first pick on a tackle. You know, like, I think it's Mims. I forgot which guy the guy was. It might be the Georgia guy or the Oklahoma guy. Guyton, you know, maybe someone can double check me on that. But I think it's Mims from Georgia. Like, they're like, okay, this guy's got, like, a great frame, and he's got a lot of ability. He's got 10 starts, you know, like 12 starts, whatever it is. It's like, you know, I almost want, like, more of a, if you're going to use round one on tackle, I almost want, like, that sure bet. Or a little bit of versatility like Barton. Like, I would not be thrilled with the Barton pick. You know, I would like a little more, like, excitement, you know, just because of the fan in me. But it wouldn't necessarily be a bad pick if you solidified the O-line. But then again, as Alex and I kind of are in agreement on, in terms of,
you can solidify it in round two, man.
Well, exactly. Like, I'm more in agreement with you, man. Take the edge rusher. Take the cornerback. Get your guy. And let a Powers Johnson fall to you in round two. Let a Barton potentially fall to you in round two. Let maybe one of these raw tackles fall to you in round two. Like, I do think we should invest in the O-line and just keep that stacked. But, yeah, I mean, I think round one, you probably want to go D-line, edge rusher.
Want to go game changer.
Game changer, exactly.
You want someone who's going to impact and take the Packers from where they were against the San Francisco 49ers to Super Bowl. So think about that, Cage. Just one guy who can make a big even play. Like a Xavier Worthy yeah. on the board. You going to pass? You going to pass on 4-2? You going to pass on 4-2 speed?
I don't think I could do that.
I don't think I could. Know. It's like someone's taking a $100 bill in front of your face and say, you don't have to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Xavier Worthy, man. He is the thought of Jordan Love just having like a Deebo Samuel or having like a Tyreek would be exciting. Just some one of those guys where, you know, I know some people on Twitter are like, oh, Deebo's washed. You know, it's like, okay, but the whole thing I'm talking about is like the concept of a guy you can throw 5 or 6 yards down the field and he takes it to the house. Like that is kind of like those interceptions, kind of like those sacks, those game changing plays that Alex and I were talking about 5 minutes ago. That is the kind of thing that will just win you games. It's like the Dolphins, right? A very, very flawed team, but they were beating the brakes off other teams earlier in the year. Why? Not because Tua's an all-world quarterback. It's because they had Tyreek Hill to throw to, Jalen Waddle to throw to, Alec Ingold blocking for all those guys. You know, like, yeah, man. I mean, the Dolphins are a very flawed team, but yeah, Tyreek can single-handedly change games. He can single-handedly get you 70 like win football games. If we can get anything close to that from a Xavier Worthy.
Fans, if you've ever played a game of soccer, you know, the other football, you know that speed plays. If there's a fast guy on the field, you just got to have someone defend him. It's like he completely changes your game plan because of his speed. So thinking that all speed is just something like in Madden where you can only really use it if you get wide open, that's not how it is in the real world. We all know that. We've all been against someone who's blazing fast, and mm-hmm. it is not a fun day. You'd rather have some dude more skilled 10 out of 10 times
100%
than some guy
that go against Davante Adams and Tyreek. Smoke.
Yeah.
You would totally rather face Davante Adams and Tyreek.
You have no shot against the fast guy 100%. When it gets down to the dirt. That's what I'm saying. So that's kind of like at the core of it. That's why DK Metcalf was such like a slam dunk pick. Is at the core of it, someone's got to run with him.
Yeah,
and Packers Moss, are going to need a fast cornerback, Gage, right? Like if you think about from the other side. So watch Cooper DeJean where he's going to be drafted because of where he runs, because that maybe he's not fast enough. We saw the Josh Jackson experiment. We don't want another one here.
Well, see, that just to add on to Alex's point, that is a great thing to bring up, Alex, because Josh Jackson balled his face off in college. If you ever watched him at Iowa, maybe we have some Big Ten watchers here. I think he led the nation in picks or it was up there. So it's like Cooper DeJean is a playmaker. He can make those plays at the collegiate level, maybe at the pros as well. But Josh Jackson just couldn't get it done in the pros, and he's no longer with us. And on the team, that is. But, yeah, man, I mean, like, it's not enough just to have the production in college. You got to have the athleticism, too, when you're talking about the NFL. Yeah, I mean, it brings us back to our talk last week about the running backs. It's like, when do you first draft a running back this year? I'm thinking absolute earliest round 3, but I would almost prefer 4-7. You know, I don't even know if I would want to reach for a guy like, Benson or Corum.
4-7.
4-7. I would rather
you
have
got Josh Jacobs, you got AJ Dillon. Yeah, you get a 4-7 back. Bro, there's some decent backs. Isaiah Pacheco, Kansas City running back. He was
a guy with the scrap heap.
Yeah, you know, get like, someone in the 6th, 7th round, 5th round, Aaron Jones style. Let's run it back. Let's get some speed in the late round. Another week, quick little guy.
Another week goes by, Packers fans, and Justin Simmons remains unsigned. Remember last week we were talking about how Goot's making these guys sweat? He's like, hey, bro, price went down again. He's like, Goot's like, $0? Okay. Okay, I'll do $7
million. He's like the guy at the pawn shop. Best I can do is $200.
Yeah. You want to get like $2,000 from Rick? He offers you like $250. Like, yeah, what about $15,000? He's like, best I can do is $275.
That's like, we're going to have to get an expert in on this one.
You mind if I call a buddy up? And he says 300.
But Justin Simmons is out there just on the island staring at retirement, otherwise taking a deal with a contender to win
two years, $12 million. You got to decide the next 30 minutes, Justin Simmons.
No,
I don't know, man. Yeah, it'll be. I think these guys are going to be sweating until after the draft. I truly do. I think they're all going to be like, all right, it's not a good feeling with these Escalade payments piling up, you know, these mortgage payments piling up.
Swing a trade?
I got all my homies asking me for money. You know, I ain't got nothing coming in right now. Like, I think a lot of these guys are going to be lowering their price, and it feels good to be in that power position once more. Maybe the Packers will do something special and sign Justin Simmons, or maybe they'll draft a guy like Hicks out of Washington State or Bullard from Georgia. I wouldn't mind one of those guys. I want my safeties to have speed. I want them to be playmakers. I like Hicks because he's got a little bit of both. You got to be able to slam the ball carrier at times as well. Linebackers, you know, you got to be able to bring him down, right? Like, we like McDuffie, but he ain't imposing like Quay is. So if we can get another guy like that, maybe an Edgerrin Cooper falls you in the second round, you know? Like, maybe you trade down from pick 25, because there's so many good players there, to pick 30, right? Like, and then you pick up another second and then another fourth in the process or something, and you grab Edgerrin Cooper at pick 30. You know, like, there's so many things the Packers can do just being in this position of power. Then you can, like, move up with your second-round picks if you need to do that. It's going to be exciting, man. And that being said, should we maybe hop into a mock draft real quick?
Yeah, hop into a mock draft. But before we do, I have just one question I want to raise. Is between the Chicago Bears, the Minnesota Vikings, and the New England Patriots, which team walks away with the best draft this season? Vikings, well, Patriots, Bears.
For some reason, I don't think it's going to be the Patriots, bro.
They've got 8 picks. Yeah, they don't.
I really do think Belichick, like, was pretty smart. You know, I'm not convinced Gerard Mayo is going to be, like, able to just, like, give the Patriots fans what they were just receiving. I know Brady is like probably the best quarterback of all time. You know, like, we can debate. I know I've been on record saying Rodgers is the best statistical quarterback of all time. He can certainly make all these throws, but what does Brady have, like 6-7 rings? Like, that gets my respect. And I know that it was a tandem, but, like, man, I know Belichick knew how to, like, evaluate guys, and a lot of people like to clown him, but I don't know why. I don't think Patriots, to me, are the team that could get, like, the number one overall pick the following year. You know, like, they could be, like, 1-16 or 2-15 this year.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I would have made that hire, man, to hire Gerard Mayo as the head coach. I think the Bears and the Vikings are going to do okay. I think they're finally have some decent management. I'm not saying that I think they're going to be better than the Packers, because that's absolutely not what I believe. I think it's going to be the Pack and Lions duking it out. But I do think they'll both draft better than the Patriots.
Vikings, they're going to be very fun to watch. Bears as well. A lot of first-round picks.
Well, okay, let me ask you this.
Between those teams.
Will one or both get quarterbacks in this draft?
Both are getting quarterbacks.
You think both? Okay.
Both are getting quarterbacks.
I think that's what logic would tell you. Like, the Vikings didn't get that another. They didn't grab another first-rounder just to get, like, two position players. And if they did, like, shame on them. You know,
they want to get their quarterback. Bro.
I think
they might trade them both for them, or they might just sit and wait. You know,
I think the same deal, brother. I think they're, at the very least, they're taking Penix Jr., or they might go up and get one of these guys, or just, you know, grab a Bo Nix or something like that. Yeah, I agree. I think both these teams are snagging QBs. I think Caleb Williams is going number one overall. There's a lot of talk about Mr. Williams or some of the personal choices he's been making, but let's just say I'd rather have Jordan Love 100 times out of 100.
You know, I'd rather have the quarterback
can lead the locker room.
Packers fans, Jordan Love is like the A student. He, if you hear his quotes and the way he just approaches life in the game, it's like reading someone who wrote a written statement. He is so sharp. He's so always focused about, like, the team goal. It's very refreshing, honestly. You know, I know he's young right now, but there's a lot of other players out there with egos 10 times more than Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Love has been at the top, but not the tip top yet, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's been behind Rodgers. He's hungry. He's been in the playoffs. He's won the playoff game. I see a lot of quarterbacks, Cage, who try to act way more than Jay Love out there.
Yeah.
And Jay Love is, that's why he's got the respect of the boys. That's why he's leading the Packers. And he's just a true, great quarterback to build your franchise around. That's what teams are seeing. Hopefully the free agents out there see that and want to come join Green Bay after the draft when the chips start to fall, like you said. Let's get into a mock draft. We're going to enter the room. This is going to be fun. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, we'll just do multiple rounds this week, right, Packers fans?
Exactly. Right,
I think we'll do maybe like the top 100, Alex, or something like that, or
then maybe first do three like rounds, a, Packers fans.
Do a full seven in coming weeks, maybe. Maybe do. Yeah. We'll obviously have more multiple mock drafts, Packers fans. Don't worry. Quick thing before we kick off this draft. I want to shout out all the Packers listeners, Packers fans in Spain. Ike Packers, right as of today, is actually charting number 10 overall in the entire country of Spain for football podcasts. And we're actually up to number 4 over Gracias. The weekend. We're up to number 4, as high as number 4 and number 5 over the weekend. And I just want to thank all of our brothers and sisters, our hermanos and
hermanos.
Tia and tios and abuela and abuelitas. And, man, just really thankful for all the international fans. We got the fans in the Wisconsin. Like, we're coming to you from the homeland, but we're also coming to you worldwide. We've been fortunate enough to do this show from places like Italy, Greece, Norway, Puerto Rico, you know. Who knows where we'll be doing it soon? You know, like maybe a couple surprises in the hat. I know we got a big fan base over in Japan, charted top 10 over there. We'll see if we do a show from there in the future. We'll see. But shout out to all the brothers and sisters in España. Really appreciate you and all the Packers fans. So, Alex, let's run it. Let's get into this mock draft.
Yep, we're at pick 25. And on the board is Byron Murphy, defensive lineman, Texas. J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, Alabama. Cornerback Nate Wiggins, Clemson. Offensive lineman Jackson Powers Johnson, Oregon. 26, Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle. Graham Barton's available.
Holy
Chop Robinson available. Oh, and Adonai Mitchell available, wide receiver, Texas.
Okay, see, this is what I thought would happen. This is kind of the way it's shaking out, Packers fans, or the way I predict it's going to shake out. We're going to have like 5 or 6 good options here. And to me, that's like an embarrassment of riches, Alex. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm thinking like Mitchell, pair him with Kenny C. I'm also intrigued by Latham. I'm not as in love with him as some of the other prospects. I'm a little wary of Alabama guys just because like their entire lines are just so much higher level than everybody else, you know. But it is tough business blocking in the SEC. I'm intrigued by Chop. Nate Wiggins. I like the speed. I like the recovery speed.
Like, I think I would go Byron Murphy, bro.
I think I would go Byron Murphy. I really do. Let's pull the trigger on Byron, Texas.
Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
They're loving it, man. I think Packers fans would be very happy with that. But you let us know, Packers fans. If you don't like that pick, let us know loud and clear. If you do like it, let us know as well. All right, Alex, what do we got next? We got pick, early 40s. I can't wait to see what we have on the board right here.
Okay, we're at 41. We've got Graham Barton still on the board. Duke. We've got Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle, Oklahoma. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon, also on the board.
Those guys will both be gone, in my opinion.
Yep, I agreed. Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle, Arizona. Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon. Braden Fisk, defensive lineman, Florida State. Peyton Wilson, linebacker, NC State. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. Tyler Newbin, safety, Minnesota.
I think for me, this one is like a tough choice between Barton, Guyton, and also Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker. I love the idea of putting Edgerrin right next to Quay, but at the same time,
taking Barton.
I think Barton would be a dynamite pick if you can grab him where he's at. Packers fans, a few weeks ago, I think this might have been a week or two ago, so you wouldn't have to scroll back too far. We put up film of Barton going up against Jared Verse at Florida State, and it was a battle. Like, there was one play where Barton just leveled Jared Verse, like pancaked him. And there was a couple other plays where Verse was just, like, giving Barton a hard time as well. So that's going to be one of those rivalries that you probably will see continue into the pros. Barton over Cooper, Alex, and then maybe try and get that linebacker a little later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think we just hold out and say one of those three top linebackers falls.
Let's hope and pray. Yeah, let's
get Barton.
I'm pretty happy with this draft so far. Who we got next?
Okay, we're on the board. Unfortunately, top two linebackers gone at 58. Edgerrin Cooper gone, and the NC State guy gone.
Peyton Wilson gone.
Top of the board is Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota. Running back Jonathan Brooks, Texas.
Too early. I ain't putting
Junior
a second.
Junior Colson, yeah. Linebacker, Michigan. We've got TJ Tampa, cornerback, Iowa State.
You might want to take him. Yeah, who else? Read a few names.
We got Mike Sainristil, cornerback, Michigan. Blake Corum, running back, Michigan. Mason Smith, defensive lineman, LSU. Okay, it seems like we get a little... I think there's, like, a few guys at the top. Like, if I see Newbin there at 58, I'm tempted. I'm tempted.
Bro, I think he ran, like, a 4.7, man. You know, like, you could run that. I think I would go with TJ Tampa here with my backup maybe being...
Jonathan Brooks?
No, I wouldn't take a line, running back this early, man. Second rounders are...
Okay, Javon Bullard is still available, the safety, Georgia.
I think I'm going to go corner. I think we can get
TJ Tampa?
TJ Tampa. Let's pull a trigger on him. Let's at least give some help.
I think TJ Tampa. Yeah, TJ Tampa.
So far we have we got
Byron Murphy, Graham Barton, and TJ Tampa.
Defensive tackle. See, like, with Braden Fisk available at 42, it's like if you go a different direction and take Chop or someone at pick 25, then you could go grab like a Braden Fisk at 42. But we got our offensive linemen, so we got
okay.
Murphy, Barton, and Tampa. That's OL, DL, and CB. But who's available in the third, Al? Where are we at right now?
Top guy on the board available might just be the pick, or it's good, maybe one of these guys, because you have Blake Corum, the running back for Michigan, available. But then you got a string of safeties and Jaden Hicks, Washington State, Cameron Kitchens, Miami, and
Hicks
Kalen
right there,
Bullock.
Brother. Oh, Bullock's still available too. I think I'm taking Hicks, to be honest. I like
Jaden Hicks a lot.
I like the combo of what he offers. And Washington State was a quality team. Like they're the top 25 team out there in the West Coast. What do you think, Packers fans? You have to let us know if you get a shot at Hicks or Bullard. Is it Bullard
Bullock.
Or Bullock in the third round?
Spencer Rattler's still on the board.
I ain't taking him. But if you get a shot at Hicks or Bullock in the third round for the safety position, like, you have to let us know who you're taking. Bullock's from Georgia. Hicks is from Washington State. Slightly different types of players, but you could just plug one of them right in the lineup.
I think we just take Hicks.
Let's just take Hicks. So let's roll with it.
Jaden Hicks, safety, Washington State. Okay, then we got 91, and Blake Corum is still on the board.
Read off the range. Let's see what we got.
Okay, Cameron Kitchens is still on the board. Brandon Dorless, Oregon, Edge. Jonah Ellis, Edge, Utah. You got Jeremiah Trotter, linebacker, Clemson. Some of the names you got... looking slim out there. You got DJ James, Auburn, cornerback, Auburn.
That's tempting.
DJ James.
That's tempting, yeah. See, I still think it's early for a running back. I do. I don't think, because this guy would be like probably third in line with carries. Like, do you really need to blow a third round or a top 100 pick? I lean, Alex, towards
DJ James.
James or Elis, bro. I've heard good things about this Elis guy out of Utah. Utah's another one of these programs that is always making noise.
The edge.
You know, Goot needs an edge. He wants to keep those edges. Let's take Elis. Yeah, we wish we would take DJ James, but hey, we got our corner in round two. So that's it, Alex. Why don't you read off our draft haul, just so Packers fans can kind of get a little bit of a recap here.
Okay, I'm going to take a screenshot of this, Packers fans, so people can...
Throw some red meat to the nation.
Throw some meat to the wolves and see if people like it or not. you got Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas, first pick. Graham Barton, inside offensive lineman, second pick. TJ Tampa, the cornerback, Iowa State, 58, round two. Then Jaden Hicks, the safety, Washington State in round three. And Jonah Ellis in round three, the edge from Utah. I feel really good about those, except for pick 91, the final one in the third.
It's almost
It's like an extra pick you have from the Rizul trade. Mm-hmm. But the first four, I think, were nailed completely, Packers fans. Let us know what you think. I just like the idea of knocking off D-line, O-line, cornerback, and safety with those first four picks, Kate.
The only, you know, then you got to prioritize LB. You got to prioritize LB. Linebacker. You got to get HB and LB. I think that's where you go in round four. You pick up Garendo, and you pick up maybe if a Trotter falls, right, from Clemson. You know, I don't know if that guy, Junior Colson, is still available from Michigan. But you got to get LB ASAP. ASAP. Get that LB. Yeah.
It might be reason to, you know, pass on.
I was going to say, take the edge early, right? So then you could get Fisk in the second round where we got a.
If you get Byron Murphy, bro.
if you get Byron Murphy, you kind of take him. But I was going to say, because then you could grab DJ James in the third. I really like that idea. And I do think you don't really need to blow a top 1 hundo on a running back. Not with Josh Jacobs.
I don't think you need
that money.
I'm like very unsure, Packers fans, looking at this. If we needed to have spent the 58th pick on a cornerback, Cage, maybe we should have gone linebacker there and like snagged DJ James at 91.
You know, that might be something to consider. That's why we do these mock drafts.
88's looking good for safeties, Packers fans. Remember, we had like several on the board. Keep your eye on that.
Yeah. Third round is
a lot of fun. Cage, thanks for coming on the podcast. Any final thoughts for Packers fans today?
Any final thoughts? A good team's about to get even better. And guess what? Summertime is coming in Wisconsin. You know what that means. Unbelievable weather, Packers fans. If you have not been to Wisconsin in the summer, plan your trip now. You know, sometimes you got to plan a month or two in advance. You got to do what you got to do to free up the time. If you haven't been to Wisconsin this summer, give it a shot. You will not regret it. The land of lake life.
Don't just go to Lambeau in the ice cold.
Don't just go to the frozen tundra. Like experience the greatness of a Wisconsin sunny season. We got a little tease of it today. Those listening know what I'm talking about. It's mid-60s in April. I mean, putting everybody in a great mood. NFL draft's coming up. Pack have 5 picks in the top 100. Life is good, man. Life is good. A lot to be thankful for, including all these Packers fans. Can't thank you enough. Just want to shout out the people in España and all across Europe, all across Africa, Asia, Oceanic region, South America, North America, all 50 states.
Spread this show within your country.
Yes,
and get Ike Packers charting in your country, and we'll shout you out.
Wherever you are, text this show to a friend, message it to a friend. It takes 2 seconds. And it will result in some great banter, right? Like, hey, everybody's got thoughts on Ike Packers. And a little bit of a lightning rod in the Packers
community.
They're
all welcome.
But they're all welcome. Every take is welcome here. Thanks so much, Packers fans. Alex, take us home.
Yeah, Packers fans, if you like today's show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Texting it to a friend, like KJ said, is the number one way to help us grow. Let's have this community explode. Draft season coming up. Thoughts on the mock draft? Hit us in the DM. And as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go forever.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go Pack Go.
but it moves seamlessly. Eyes are deceiving me. My friends are all leaving me. Tension is deepening. All night thoughts of you.